Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And we're back in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to take a look in this first part of our program on about the death investigation of Anthony Anderson Sr., 46 years old, who was killed while being arrested by the police. Investigation is still going on, but it brings a larger issue at stake here. We're going to talk about that incident, but more. And we'll get into that, and then later in the hour, we jump into what's happening with the O's, because you can't leave that one not talked about as well. Right, Anthony?
That's a good one. I'm counting on him.
All right. And so we'll be right back. First, we're taking this over to Metro Traffic here at WEAA. Check on the roads. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
I want to remind you that support for the Mark Steiner Show comes to you in part from the Maryland State Education Association. The Maryland Dream Act makes sure kids who graduated from a Maryland high school and whose parents have paid taxes for at least 3 years can pay in-state tuition. Investing in the education of our kids benefits our state, our economy, and the young people who will get a shot at achieving their dreams. On November 6th, voters get to determine whether or not the Dream Act passes. Whether you vote yes or no, you should go to the polls. It's important to vote. More information about the ballot question 4 can be found at educatingmarylandkids.org. Anthony and I are joined here in studio by Jay Wendell Gordon, attorney who's representing the Anderson family. Always good to see you.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come back.
Always a pleasure to have you here. Yes. Ted Sutton, community activist and youth pastor at the Maryland Church of God in Christ. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Number is 410-319-8888. Some of you who didn't get on last hour might want to leap into this hour because the subjects are not that distant, not that far apart. But let's talk a bit about this case first that just gets us on the table about what happened to Anthony Anderson, because it's been – and where is it now? This, as I understand it, and you can correct this, Wendell, the man was coming out of a store. He was seized by police. There are all kinds of stories about what happened then.
Sure.
He died either standing up or on the ground, but before he was even officially arrested. So, go ahead.
Yeah, he was leaving a local corner store at the intersection of Montford and Biddle Street, and he was walking through a vacant lot that sits right there on his way to his mother's house. It was his granddaughter's birthday, and he was going back to see her when he was approached from behind, grabbed around his knee area, around the top of his knees, picked up by the officer from behind. The officer extended his body upright and then slammed him into the ground head and neck first. And as a result of that, it's my understanding that his spleen was either punctured by a rib or ruptured, and he died moments later.
So, but we haven't seen the medical or toxicology report yet, correct? We don't know the facts completely, correct?
I don't know the facts as to... the actual official report, but the unofficial report that I've received from, I believe, very credible sources indicate that that's what occurred, and also indicate that the toxicology report came back negative for CDS.
And that, because originally the police had said that that he had choked on a capsules.
Right.
He was trying to swallow, correct?
Right. According to my understanding from what's been stated from sources close to the medical examiner's office indicated that there was nothing obstructing his airways. That is, no capsule, no pills obstructing his airways. And again, toxicology report indicated that there was no drugs in the system.
Well, I'm just very curious because the information, Wendell, was so quick. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I are part of networks where people started reaching out to each other very quickly.
Yeah.
And definitively, people were saying that he swallowed drugs as the police approached him, and that his death was the result of that. What's the timetable we're looking at for The actual, and I've read part of the police report, but it hasn't.
You're ahead of me.
Well,
I haven't seen it.
Well, when you have contacts in the police department, they will send these. They won't send you the report, but what they'll send you are snippets from the reports that they've read in house,
just to
answer questions about specific things.
Sure.
And there is some indication, and I hate, and you know, I'm a supporter of this police department. But when things are questionable, they're just questionable.
Mm-hmm.
But even inside the police department, there is talk that story was immediately fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Anderson family hearing?
Well,
and I understand I understand the police have reached out to the family,
mm-hmm.
And have been trying to build a relationship with the family, mm-hmm. Because they don't want it to go into this direction of us versus them. But what is the family hearing from this police department?
I can tell you that we met with Commissioner Batts and his top brass at the family's home. They actually came over to the home, and I thought that was a bit unusual, but we appreciated all the same, because never before, in fact, that's been unprecedented as far as I've known. And they extended their condolences at that. They made commitments that they would investigate the case, and it would be a thorough investigation. I believe one of the officers who's the chief of detectives says, look, I'm going to give you an honest investigation because I'm not going to mess up my badge for three officers, and that's what he said, quote unquote. So when he said that, that gave us it relaxed us a little bit and gave us some reason to at least allow the process to work its way out. But in terms of what the family is saying, the family was out there, so they don't have to necessarily say anything. They saw it for themselves. He was killed in front of his 2-year-old granddaughter, his mother, his son, his daughter, and his daughter. So there were many people out there, and at that particular time, there was nothing that he was taken from anywhere to be placed in his mouth at the time that he was under attack by this particular police officer. There were three of them chasing him, but this particular officer is the one responsible for his death. And up until this point, the police have failed or refused to disclose his name.
I'm sorry, Ted, I'm glad you joined us today.
I'm glad to be here.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head because I'm to be honest with you, it's hard. I'm almost outraged. I mean, I'm just really tired of this going on. And see, people have to understand it from the side that I deal with. I deal with a lot of young people. I deal with a lot of helping young men to get out of gangs, and a lot of different situations. And it's hard to – how do I validate that we are to look at officers as to protect and serve if they feel that things are going to go in a negative direction just automatically. And I just recently reached out, and I was even down there with the situation with Trayvon Martin. Mm. I came back. I was over in England when they rioted. I talked with the family, with the young man who was killed at the hands of the police officers there. And even I just saw something very recent of a Derek Williams,
mm-hmm.
who and I watched this video of this young man pleading for his life in the back seat of a car with the officer. In fact, at the one time, the officer even said, he said, "Officer, please." He said, "I cannot breathe, please." He was begging for his life, and the officer said, "Well," he said, "you're probably dying." And that's the statement he said. And there was not any type of reaction until they saw the young man motionless in the back seat. And I'm saying this is a powder cake at this point. And I'm hoping there is a thorough investigation, because there are a lot of officers that I have a lot of respect for. Major Russell is a very good officer.
I echo that.
Major Delgado. And different ones, you know, I know that are very good at what they do, but there is an element that's going on that has to be addressed.
But there's two things that I want to address with all of you and go to our listeners, and see Brother Bay has called in. We'll have him come on here for a minute, see what he's got to say, and a number of people are calling in at 410-319-8888. And I agree. I mean, the other day we had an incident down, Sunday police came, and it wasn't a major incident, but it came, and when we thought someone broke into my car. But it was my mistake, not theirs. But at any rate, when that happened, the police officer came, was a young woman, Officer Good. She was just, you can tell that she poured goodness out of who she is.
Right.
You know, and then so it's not kind of going after individual officers, but right. I think it's something deeper. There are two things I want to throw out to you all and to our listeners and see what you think.
Mm-hmm.
One has to do with just the notion of power and policing that I think has to be addressed, because even the good, when you get in a certain situation, can be corrupted by that power and authority and sense of what you can control and what happens. But I'll stop there. I'll start there. Go ahead.
That's what makes this case so egregious, in my opinion, because, you know, you hear about cases where people are being shot by police and what have you because they're in reasonable fear, or at least they allege that they're in reasonable fear. This case is particularly egregious to me because my client was attacked by behind, and he was killed by this officer's bare hands. And to me, that makes it far worse because it was a show of dominance. It's a show of police authority on steroids, actually corrupt police authority, and it was a show of actual dominance. I mean, he just dominated this man. I mean, he was over 6 feet tall.
Who was
the police officer? Over 200 pounds, and my client was maybe 180, 175 pounds, and he's about 5'8", 5'9". So he just came up behind him. He just strong-armed him and just muscled him down to the ground, and it killed him. And that's what, you know, that's what I see is wrong with this case.
Do we know why they were after him?
Well, I guess you read the report. I mean,
I read the report. I read the incident. They didn't really, the notes I got mm-hmm. did not go into why he was targeted at all. It spoke specifically to the incident that took place.
This is what
it's described, I will tell you. It's described in a little different detail than the way you described that the witnesses say that he was approached from behind.
Well, I would like to see that. I mean, I would only expect
the problem I have is they were part of the violent crime impact division. Mm-hmm. So looking even at this man's record, what violence was he accustomed to?
Right.
So yeah, so what was it?
So what I heard, okay, and there's no confirmation of it, but they believe that he had a pill and he had put a pill in his mouth. So he got the death penalty for one pill of CDS. I mean, that's the best information that I've heard. Has anybody heard anything different?
And how different was the report, can you say?
I can say, because like I said, all of us have contacts, and mm-hmm. I asked very specific police officers that are good friends of mine
sure.
who have provided me with inside information. I would mm-hmm. never say their names or share their emails.
Right.
But I will tell you that the concern I had was I got a call, just like Mark did, you did, other people who are networked in the community, mm-hmm. About Mr. Anderson being killed.
Mm-hmm.
But the caveat was that he was carrying and swallowed drugs, and that was the cause of his death, that he choked on his own drugs. But I will say that in the police report, at least mm-hmm. the clips that were emailed directly to me, not
right.
the report, but clips from the report,
mm-hmm.
said was very clear that the officers witnessed him putting drugs in his mouth as they pursued him.
But how does somebody from a distance know it's just a
I can't,
you know
what? I mean, I can't.
Let's assume, even if we were to credit that story, credit it as being true, it does not merit the death penalty.
Of course not.
And so I don't care what that story, if that's the best they're coming up with, mm-hmm. then they're still wrong. Because at the end of the day, that's a misdemeanor and you have a person who's dead.
So I mean, and the other issue is this, and I'm going to go to the phones here. The other issue is that it raises is mm-hmm. this question that we've been talking about for weeks now, actually for years, but most recently in weeks, which is the issue of the drug war itself,
mm-hmm.
which is if there was no drug war, this would not have occurred. If we weren't locking people up for use of drugs, holding drugs, this would not have happened. That the drug war is incarcerating and killing more people in this country. At astonishing rates.
But I
would just add one thing to that. Had this been in Columbia, Maryland, and someone, it looked like they had put something in their mouth, a mint or whatever, would the professionalism had been the same? Would they have been treated the way that this man was almost, you have to almost say, viciously attacked?
But, Ted, it really would depend. I believe that black males are targeted, and I believe it could be Columbia. I believe it
yes.
could be Howard County. I certainly believe it could be in Baltimore that they could be targeted and they could be killed. But I would argue, but the other part I would make is that I think the public, and I certainly think the Anderson family, need, as Mark asked that question, we have to have some sense of why this man was targeted. And I think that is just the least of the information that the police department should, in fact, bear witness to.
No, no, no. The producer mm-hmm. just wrote to me saying the Sun article quotes, maybe this quote is what don't mind. Anderson died Friday night while being arrested for drug possession at East Biddle and North Munford Avenue. Police initially said that Anderson was believed to have choked on drugs, but they are awaiting an autopsy, and they're interviewing witnesses. People who say they saw the incident, including Anderson's children and mother, describe Anderson being aggressively taken down by officers before going limp.
Yeah.
I mean, so we still don't know the exact what the police are saying, right. why they were there. But should we go to the list, Wendell? You have
something? Sure. I mean, I forgot what I was going to say anyway.
Sure. I'm going to stop you. Yeah. Let's go to Brother Bay. You've been holding on a while. You're on the air.
Peace and blessing. Let me just say this, that my preference is that when you look at the personnel of correctional officers, police officers, they have what's called paramilitary mentality. Whoever can espouse that they're a good police officer has nothing to do with the climate of the institution, the Blue Shield mentality of policing. Thank God that we have folks who are doing to correct that. The problem is that our community is functional illiterate. There's a constitution of Maryland that deals with the Declaration of Rights that indicate the process. Those who are lawyers know procedural law and substantive law. We are dealing with a case right now, a bogus, and I have it in my hand, a bogus Circuit Court of Baltimore, District of a Court in Maryland for Baltimore City, search and seizure warrant. It is not signed. All it does is have an address, and the one police officer saw another police officer violating the law via under the auspices of his duty to enforce the law was stupid enough to put a name and a telephone number. They went into these people's houses, pulled guns on two young ladies. One was 13 years old. The officer pulled the gun and put the gun upside the girl's head. You know, and check this out. All of these high-power attorneys and national so-called civil rights organization, because these people are not markable, nobody is addressed in that. So they call little folks such as myself. Going back to the murder, we had Chris Brown on our radio yesterday. You know, that is the lady who allegedly children threw stones. One officer pursued, chased, and choked that little boy. So my question is, when will we stop operating in silos and all of us come together who are committed and dedicated, as you said on WLB time one time, Wendell, that there's a lot. You didn't say it like I'm saying it. Mm. You got a lot of hype at the mic. You're not inclusive, whoever, I'm talking about processes, not people, not inclusive to engage everybody so that they themselves can have a personal vested interest to resolve. Last but not least, Baltimore City get a $354 million budget a year. That's just one source of their income. First of all, we need to move from public safety because the public is not safety based on the work that the Baltimore City Police Department is doing. We need to move from a public health safety model to a public health model. And close it. What? Police department, the method is what? They do not create safe environment. That is the primary methodology of public health. Secondary, they do not what? Reduce harm. Thirdly, they do not manage crisis. It's nothing but rhetoric. And we need to begin to change and challenge the system. There needs to be a hue and cry comparable to a revolution in Baltimore City.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bay.
I think what he's speaking about is just what you were talking to me about in Annapolis that's going to take place within the next 30 to 45 days, and that is the Legislative Black Caucus, and they're going to have a roundtable that's assembled to discuss these issues and develop a plan or a strategy to try to eradicate some of the issues that we're facing in the community.
So another email came in. Let me read this from another listener, and there's no name attached, but because it came through. This is Hassan sent it in, somebody who he talked to who knows the family. He said he was no angel, but Anthony Anderson, was not doing nothing but minding his own business when these police officers came up from behind after jumping out of their vehicles, slammed him to the ground, and forcibly searched his pockets, says one eyewitness who declined to give their name based on fear of backlash. They, quote, they claimed that they saw him swallow something and ordered him to spit it out. Yet when he didn't, because he had nothing to spit out, they proceeded to semi-choke him in a Heimlich maneuver attempt to have him throw up his contents, which ain't nothing new, as they do that word we can't use all the time in the hood. So So that
I mean, there may be some little iterations to the story, but the stories have been consistent from my investigation, even from what you have before you. Like I said, there may be some nuances in the details, but the substance of the story has been consistent. And that's what I find most interesting about this case.
So, Mark, I guess the bigger question that you and I talked about, and certainly we could ask Ted and J. Wendell Gorton to expound on this, there appears now for the longest time, and you and I bore witness to it, we looked at the statistics, we talked to the police, we even talked to community leaders who were extolling the virtues of this police department for what they saw as a bringing down of violent crime in the city of Baltimore. And it was the policy at City Hall that that the attention should be spent to reducing that violence. But if you're on, and I know this sounds simplistic, but if you are on Facebook and you are engaging in conversations with people who live in the communities like Brother Bay and others, almost every day, Mark, over the last couple of months, there are these stories of incidents with the police department.
You can't keep up with it.
And you can't. And it's almost.
And I hear the cry from Brother Bay is like, what are you guys going to do? I can't do it all by myself. And I'm like, Brother Bay, I feel the same way. I mean, we are all overwhelmed. And then there's cases, you know, you actually have to pick and choose the battles and try to at least put your hands on the most egregious that you can raise up and make the example of, so that hopefully those that are not as egregious can be, hopefully, that it, you know, try not to allow it to happen again.
And just to let our listeners know, a week from tomorrow on this program,
that's right,
we'll be talking about racial profiling. There are people who want the city council to address this issue, have public hearings on police behavior, police profiling, and create a community conversation about it. Some people in the council are reticent to do it. A few are for it. But we're going to bring that issue to the table here a week from Tuesday to talk about that. But 410-319-8888 is the number here. Andrea, you're on the air.
Hi, yes.
Hi, Andrea.
How are you guys doing?
Very well. Welcome.
Good.
Well, first of all, that's just crazy. I mean, we just have to use some common sense and have some human compassion for one another. I mean, even if he did swallow drugs, which he probably didn't, but even if he did, I mean, that's a life. That's somebody's family member. And as you guys mentioned, they killed him in front of all of his family members.
Right.
And then, too, something does need to be done. I mean, you got to see me. I'm a little bitty person, and I've been bothered by the police a couple times, and I haven't, well, no, I've been here a year now. And, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, I pay my taxes. I should never, ever be harassed. I mean, just because when there's so many other issues going on, they can go tackle those. So, you know, something does need to be done, and I'm glad you guys are addressing that next week. But then also, too, like, I'm a part of, I know I can't tell you which group I'm with, but I'm with a group, and we will help people file a report if you've been harassed. Because like you said, you guys can't tackle them all. But, and some people, you know, they're not going to say, well, I can't understand this form. I don't understand the process. So we put together a small group where on Wednesdays in the evening for about 2 hours, you can come. It's a place in East Baltimore, and you can file your report. Now, some of them are valid and some of them aren't. But, you know, that's not our job to decide what's valid, what's not. But then once you have on paper a history of, okay, this one officer, we have 50 reports. Then once you get the documentation, then you can kind of see, okay, this is a pattern with this person, because it is crazy. You know, when I'm out in the field working with my family, I've seen police take money. I've seen police with drugs. It's just ridiculous. So, you know, something's got to stop, or else you're going to just have, I mean, it's not going to get any better. And I know I probably shouldn't say this, but I'll go ahead right quick. I wish it was kind of like the country, because in the country, police kind of have common sense, because they know if you hit the wrong person, they're going to find you and they're going to beat you up.
Andrew, thank you so much.
I will say is these, and I can't, since I can't speak for all officers, I'm not saying that, because definitely we have some good officers, but these cowards who fall under this umbrella. And I say that because they fall under the badge as far as the umbrella, but they use the streets against most of these young men. And when I say that, meaning that they use the no snitching rule. So they break the law, and then they use against you that you're not supposed to be a snitch, so you're not supposed to tell them, you know, or talk about them. You're not supposed to go to internal affairs, and you're not supposed to make phone calls and do different things of this nature. And that's the problem that I have. And things have to we have to see that there's going to be professionalism and that there's going to be due process. If I'm a criminal, this is business. Arrest me for what I have been charged with and let me have my day in court. But I'm supposed to be innocent before proven guilty.
Yeah.
See, the thing is that if a person has a bad day at McDonald's, I don't get my fries. But if an officer has a bad day, my son may not come home. And there's a big difference.
And, Mark, I'm afraid that we are allowing a culture to persist where black males in this city have become collateral damage in this so-called war on drugs, but not just the war on drugs, but this idea that we have to have, and they don't call it zero tolerance policing, but Mark, I'm telling you, if you listen to some of these stories, that's exactly what's being that's exactly what's being practiced.
Right. And I'm sorry, don't lose your thought, Wendell. I know you won't because you're too much of a good swallower. So, but we're going to take a brief break, though. And we're going to take another 5 minutes on this topic after the break so Wendell can have his closing thought. And maybe get a call now. Then we're going to move into our next subject, which is something bright on the horizon.
That's right.
Which is a young, inexperienced, unpaid team making it to the playoffs. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner.
And Anthony McCarthy.
And we're going to take another 5 minutes here before we break and come to our next subject. We want to let Wendell Gordon, one of our guest attorney representing the Anderson family, have his thought that he wants to do before we went to break. Ted Settman is with us, community activist, youth pastor, 410-319-8888. Go ahead, Wendell.
Yeah, I was just going to say Anthony made some very great points about us being collateral damage, that is black males, but I would take it a step forward. I see us not as the collateral damage. I see us as the enemies. I mean, we're treated as the enemies. We're living in a police state, and whether we appreciate it or not, all you have to do is go down to Biddle Street in Montfort. Biddle and Montfort streets, and you will see that it is a police state. Now, are there things going on in that area? Yeah, but not everybody's involved. And if I was to go out on that area at any random time, sure, I'll see people engaged in some things, but I also see people who are just minding their business going from one place to another or just chatting with a neighbor or a friend. They don't. That's not breaking the law. And again, with regard to my client, you know, I will submit to you that there were no drugs involved. I don't have the official autopsy report, but even if there was, I don't care if he died of a heart attack. He's dead now, and he's dead because this police officer took it upon himself to create havoc in the lives of his family and to punish this man with the ultimate penalty. So, you know, I will still take this matter to court if he had drugs in his pocket, if he had them in his shoes, if he had them in his mouth. I don't care where they were. Because they have penalties for that. That's a crime in the state of Maryland, and they have penalties for it, and it's not the death penalty. It's whatever years of incarceration that's required under the law.
In this particular segment, I'm going to take one more call. And I'm going to go to this call. I apologize. A couple of other callers called in, but Monica Gordon's on the phone. She is saying that her family was illegally raided by police, and the police did put a gun in her little girl's face. I want to hear her story, then we'll conclude this segment and go into our next segment. Monica, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well.
I'm on Thursday, September the 27th. I got a frantic phone call from my kids that the SWAT team had invaded our home. The paperwork that they left was not signed. My name wasn't on it. They had no information. The person's name that was on the warrant has never resided at my house or no mailing address. And they put the gun to my 13-year-old's head, my 13-year-old daughter's. Terrorize them, threaten them with protective services. And my thing was, what did you find? Nothing in my household. You tore my trash up. You tore my house up. You terrorized my kids. And when I called Internal Affairs Thursday evening, I spoke with a Detective Nav who informed me, he went to the computer and told me that a warrant or raid had not been issued to my address. He had nothing in the computer of it, and he was going to get in touch with the Southwest Precinct and call me back. Today is Tuesday, and I still have not heard from Internal Affairs.
Unfortunately, as bad as that case sounds, it may not even be a civil case to arise out of that, because they will have the good faith defense. If they had any reason to believe in good faith that they had hit the right address, even though it's the wrong address, they will not be liable for any of
that. What about putting a gun in her 13-year-old daughter's face?
Good faith. They'll claim that their lives were. They'll put it together now. They'll put a story together. You know, the truth is one thing, and then the stories are something different. They'll put it together, and either they'll say they didn't do it, or they'll say that you know, it's police policy to, you know, pull out your weapon, or that she, even though she was a child, she created a reasonable fear in the officer. So he had, you know, whatever it is, under the Law Enforcement Officer's Bill of Rights, they have a certain amount of time to get their story together, get their lawyers, and be ready to have a story to tell to the public and to present in court.
But my take on Monica, you're not going to let it rest there.
Excuse me?
You're not going to let it rest there.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
And I don't recommend
it. You should. You should.
I'm assuming that they thought that I was just going to let it go because they threatened with protective services, and that does not scare me at all. So I will force through with what I have to, by whatever means necessary. And I just hope that other people step up and call in when they do things like this. That's why they get away with it.
Did they leave
an
inventory with you or a copy of the warrant?
Did they leave a copy of the warrant that was empty? It was not filled out, no judge's signature, no officers, anything. They did not leave a property list of the stuff that they took out the house, my mail, anything. They didn't leave a list.
They're required to leave an inventory after
they
execute.
No, they did not leave an inventory.
Well, that's... Yeah.
Did you get any badge numbers or the car, the number?
No, my neighbor next door saw the SWAT. I mean, it was like 20 cars out here on my block. So the neighbors all witnessed it, and they left their police-issued gloves in my house that they have to, when they're looking, searching. Mm-hmm. I have the gloves in a safe place, and so whoever the officers who had those on their hands, I'm quite sure there's...
I'm going to give you a number of lawyers to call. Call Derek Hamlin. I'm going to give you names. You have to Google search these folks. Derek Hamlin.
Hold on. Let me guess. Last name, Derek Hamlin.
And you can hang up if you need to. Derek Hamlin. Call James Rhodes.
R-O-H-O-D-E-S.
James Rhodes. R-H-O-D-E-S. Yes.
Yes.
Call Russell Neverdon.
Okay.
And... those are the names that come off the top of my head. Myron Brown. Myron Brown. All of these attorneys are Googleable, and their information will be out on the internet.
And if all else fails, call my cousin, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Mm-hmm.
He don't mind drama.
And I can Google Mr. Shabazz?
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Monica, stay in touch as well, and good luck, and I'm glad you shared your story. I'm sorry your family had to live through it. I want to thank our guests, Wendell Gordon and Ted Sutton, for being in the studio, and we'll stay on top and see what happens with this. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a 30-second break and come right back and switch gears and go to Orioles Park. Stay with us.